Go ahead and open us to the second chapter of Peter. The second chapter of Peter. I appreciate all the parents for bringing the children to Sunday school and the church and looking up there and seeing how I'm grateful. I remember when we came and seeing my son Noah up there, he was a baby. And Tina, my daughter was in Jake's wedding, and they were that little ones, and they're growing, and I'm grateful, but it's hard, too. Been the youth leader for about 8 years, and just watching people move on is difficult. I like them to stay in the church because you still get to see them, but it's tough, but it's also good. So hopefully this gives everybody time to get into the scripture here. I'm going to read 9 verses for you here. And you'll notice them across the front of the platform here, and you'll see something familiar. In verse 1, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have attained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. Whereby we are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the world, or the corruption that is in the world, through lust. And beside this, meaning those things that we just read, giving all diligence, this is our part, all of our parts, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. I'm grateful, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, to deliver your word this morning. I'm grateful for those who poured into me beginning in my early years as a teen in church and throughout the time here and pastor and his wonderful help. And Lord, I'm just grateful for the many, many people here that stand on truth and stand with truth and pursue you in their own lives. Lord, would you please walk with us today? Walk with these children, Lord. Continue to lift them up and hold them up and impart knowledge, Lord, scriptural, biblical, knowledge that extends beyond just a life but into eternity. Lord, I just pray, God, that you would be with us this morning, that you'd speak through me, Lord, the words that you desire, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we would take it and, Lord, that you would help us with your spirit to apply to our lives and extend it out beyond. Lord, I thank you so much for these things and I pray them in Jesus' name. Amen. I've heard it said, and my class will know this because I've said it before, that statistics do not determine destiny, but they're a good indicator of where something's headed. A recent study titled Passing the Torch, How Faith Moves Across Generations, provides some good indicators for us today with regard to the discipleship of children. The two OSU researchers of the study stated this, quote, in a culture where religion is no longer reinforced by broader society, parents cannot assume that their faith will simply rub off on their children. They added this, quote, the families most successful at passing on the faith are the ones who practice it openly, talk about it regularly, and build it into everyday life, unquote. Here are some of their findings. Prayer. Family prayer prior to sharing meals was linked to higher church attendance in young adults, 22% higher. Just praying before your meal, acknowledging God, being thankful for what we have. I like to pray for our meals for not just how it's provided in my home, but how it got there. I mean, there was farmers, there's truckers, there's grocery store people. I mean, I didn't go out and pick my breakfast this morning. There are people there. We pray for those things. And also prayer with children whose families who pray together in addition to meals, 52%
children are more likely to pray as adults. So when we make prayer a part of our life, it will continue on. Weekly faith discussions. Children who are exposed to faith-based discussions in the home are twice as likely to attend church weekly, pray daily, and consider religion to be important as adults. They were also 29% more likely to identify as Christians. Fathering, mothering, and marriage. Parents who indicated they were completely satisfied with their marriages had a higher amount of faith-based conversations throughout the week with their children. 41% of those children who attend church weekly with both parents will go on to attend church weekly as an adult. This percentage drops to 29% if the children attend only with one parent. We encourage you to come to Sunday school and to come together. Parent-child relationships. The quality of a parent and child relationship factored into children holding on to their faith as well, with adults who grew up with two married biological parents being more likely to hold to their faith. Adults who reported having a, quote, very good relationship with both parents had 76% higher odds of weekly church attendance, 66% odds of praying daily, 54% higher odds of reading sacred texts, and 87% higher odds of high religious importance, and 97% higher odds of believing in God. If you take that down to just fathers, it goes to 58%, 45, 40, 64, and 73, and mothers alone, 65, 56, 41, 70, and 70. So we see, yes, we can still impart faith. If you're in a situation, it happens. But guess what? We want to be together. And when we don't have those things, we have children that come into our homes, and we don't have those things, God provides those things for us. If my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. There are people here that can be representations that can be helpful with those things, but the best we see comes when we do it ourselves, and then the church supports what we are doing. Right. Media habits. Those whose parents were involved in closely monitoring their children's media habits indicated higher levels of praying daily, identifying as Christian, viewing religion as highly important, and believing in Jesus into young adulthood. And faith traditions. The study also added that parents had support in these endeavors, explaining that, quote, while the family home is the primary driver of lasting faith, strong church communities help reinforce those beliefs by providing mentorship, friendship, volunteer opportunities, and youth programs that keep children connected to their faith as they grow. I'm not ashamed to include this part in the study, and I'm going to since I'm the youth leader. 22% of children who were encouraged to attend youth group as teenagers attended church weekly at ages 25 through 28, compared to only 9% who are not similarly encouraged. It's not because youth leaders are something special. It's contact with God. It's contact with other children. It's coming together and walking through life together. Just as we as adults encourage one another, our children encourage each other. And we as a church come alongside and encourage it all. The study included some advice for parents too, such as these. Attending worship with children on a regular basis. Please do it. Letting them see you pray, read scripture, and engage in other devotional activities. Making Christian images or symbol visible in the home or other regular environments. Now, this is, we're not talking about icons and things like that, but we're talking about things that are noticed. Putting them on the posts of your house, scripture that goes up. Tina decorates, there's scripture things up there. There's also kinds of things you walk around the church, you'll see them. In my house, we have hymn words and things like that. There are things you just put up there. Why? You want to see that. You want to encourage. You want to know that this is a place of faith. And it's not just in the church house. It's in our homes. And so it should be there. Also, it says, letting children know how faith shapes how you live life and make decisions. I admit, I don't do that enough. And listen, I'm challenging. I'm encouraging. These are things that they're saying that help. And then lastly, prioritizing faith and church commitments over other things when they conflict, such as going to social events, watching games, traveling, whatever. I say, hello, Deuteronomy 6 is calling. It's on the phone. Parents, teach your children. Walk in the way with them. When you rise up, when you go to bed, all those things are implied there. There's also a veiled warning not directly reported within their study. As the people of God, we have to avoid pursuing these goals with a low aim of enjoying and advancing only the effects of faith. What do I mean by that? The effects of faith. I want to live in a Christian-influenced civilization and culture with social order, safe neighborhoods, a good home. well-behaved children. Is that really our goal? Or is it deeper than that? We should ask. And we should seek to forge faith and discipleship and aim for the foundations rather than the effects. The Bible says if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If we aim for the foundations, those other things come into play. We'll see those. But if we miss the foundations, we're going to have a hard time getting there. And what are those things? These things. We need to preach and teach on sin to continue hearing those things. About Jesus Christ, the gospel, repentance and faith, true discipleship, and the importance of the local church. All those things matter, and we need to hold those up, not just here in church, but in our homes. I found it interesting, too, that the two researchers of this study share the last name Smith. And this leads me in what I want to talk about today. Last names in the medieval era were often associated with the work with which the individual or their family was attached. For instance, Cooper, they made barrels. Mason, Miller, Brother Matt, Miss Patty, Miller, Taylor, Weaver, Wright, and again back to Smith. Historically, Smiths were those individuals whose profession related to working with metals. The place in which their work took place was called a forge. A forge, in the noun sense, is a furnace in which iron or other metal is heated and hammered into form, or any place where anything is made or shaped. Any place where something is made or shaped. It's the church. The church is a forge of faith. As our study indicated, a family is a forge for faith too, but it also included the importance of the local church. Christ came to build his church, and his word identified it as a place for equipping, furnishing, and helping believers add to and distribute said faith. With these things in mind, I want to preach on this thought: discipleship and the forge of faith. The first thing we see about discipleship and the forge of faith is going to be the substance of that discipleship. So what is the substance of our discipleship? It's faith. Faith is our substance. This is what we look for. This is what we're built upon. Everybody came to faith who professes the faith in Christ, and that was the beginning. I remember just being a young punk kid that was invited to church as a teenager, and I heard things that I never heard before, and after hearing those things and after being basically forged in the fire of that church and that youth group of that day, I heard things about my sin, about who I was, about my need for Christ, and then I came to faith in him, and that's the substance. The Bible says that in Hebrews, that faith is the substance, and that's what we begin with. It's a substance, and our substance is secured. If you look at verse 1, it says, we have obtained like precious faith. And who is that like precious faith obtaining? Jesus Christ. It's what he's done. He secures that for us. So our faith, the substance of that, is secured. I don't have to worry about it going away or being left behind. It's there. It's secured. The Christian faith does not rest in, nor does it secured in a dead leader like Buddhists or Hindus or Muslims or even those who are very adept atheists. It doesn't matter. It's not secured in celebrities or politicians or the current media influencer of the age. Our faith is not secured in scientific reasoning, or in our country, in the Constitution, or a result of our own Herculean efforts. And while communicated by our faithful pastor, or a parent, or teacher, it is not secured in them either, but in Christ alone. Our faith is a substance that is solidified and secured by the Savior. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, again, found in Hebrews. And it's the reason why we can follow those who follow Christ, and if those who don't follow Christ, we don't have to lose it if they don't. Because I'm following their faith in Christ. And if they leave that behind or walk away, he still has it secured. The righteousness of Christ is our access point. We've obtained it, not through ourselves, but through him. He's the access point. And if you look at that verse 2, there's a historical association. It says, like precious faith with us. Who's the association? It's all those that came before us. That's why we come to Sunday school and I use quotes from the past and bring forth and think about people and their thoughts from before, because they wrestled and struggled with the same faith that we are in their time and their place, and now we in ours. And then that faith has been and is still accessible to us. And it's a substance that should be adored. It says, like precious faith. Is your faith precious this morning? It is a substance that is secured and it's also sufficient. It says it's good for all things that pertain unto life and godliness. It's sufficient for everything that you have. Since the substance of discipleship is sufficient, believers submitted to faith are potential implements fitted for God's hand and use. If you're submitted to faith, He will give you the sufficient things to make you fit for His use. And in the process of seeking God's will for our lives, we and our children have the opportunity to glorify Him and express to the world the excellence of biblically grounded morality. If you look at verse 3, at the end of it, He says, He's given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We get to express that. His sufficiency through us is expressed to the world. It's a substance that's secured, sufficient, and it's also a substance that's shared. In verse 4, it says that we're given, whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. I didn't earn those. I'm not good. I don't get them because I do something well or I don't do something well. They're given. They're given by Christ. They're given because He secured them and because they're sufficient, and then He shares them. But then it says what? It goes on, it says that by these ye might be partakers. Other people need to get involved in this. We need to bring others in. It's implied in discipleship that the substance of faith is not something that is just kept, but something that is to be released. And as such, the faith that was once delivered unto the saints in Jude has been shared with us and we must also contend. But we don't contend on our own behalf alone, but for those who come behind us. The young people in our Sunday school, in our homes, we contend for them. We contend so that they can have a hope. They can see the hope. How else can they resist, defend, and escape this world of lust? In the physical forge, a workpiece or stock of metal, sometimes called a billet, is submitted for shaping by the smith into that which it will be used. What's it going to be? Is it going to be a weapon? Is it going to be a horseshoe? Is it going to be this? Whatever it's going to be, the smith has an idea. God is the ultimate smith, if I could put it that way, and He has something that He sees that He wants us to be fit for. And so we're submitting to His forge of faith, and we're allowing Him to shape us. I hope so. So in the forge of discipleship, the spiritual substance of our faith is submitted to Christ to be made into that for which we will also be used for His workmanship. We find out that we're His workmanship in Ephesians 2:10. So in this passage, we find that our faith in Christ is secure, sufficient, and the starting place which we could and should be sharing among others within our homes, within church, and without. Is your substance, in this case faith, secured, sufficient, and shared? Where are you at? Do you have a faith today? Have you trusted Christ as Savior? Are you doing something with that? Do you find Him sufficient for you? You know one good way you can find out how God's Word is sufficient for you? Go to Sunday school. Come to church. Because the more you hear it, the more it's going to increase your faith. The first component of discipleship in the forge of faith was the substance of discipleship. The second component in the forge of faith is the structure. And we find that in verses 5 through 7. We see this. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. We begin with faith. And then we begin adding each piece on top of the other. And we want to bring that in. To who we are. Whether one is new in the faith or a mature believer, we all can add to the measure of faith that we have. This can be done either in the realm of quality or quantity. However, the newest or youngest believer must add in succession the elements described in the passage: virtue, knowledge, temperance, and so on. That's what we want to do in Sunday school. We want to help you, parents, add to your children's faith. We want to help them add what to their faith? Virtue. What's virtue? That I can live rightly, that I can pursue excellence. Listen, the world tells our kids to just go out there, throw out there, have fun, do whatever you want. You can't do excellent things. And 200 years ago, we had children who were 9 to 16 years old creating organizations, doing amazing things. It wasn't just a product of the time that they were in, the difficulty. It was maybe the mindset of where we were at. Children are capable of way much more than we give them credit for. They are intelligent. They are creations of God, and they have creative hearts, and God wants to do something with them. Maybe we hold them back at times. Rather than add to, we add upon. Instead of giving them something to add to their faith, we add a burden to them because we couldn't get it. Let's add to them. It's a structure that's successive. It's also a structure that's strengthening. Each successive element is not only built upon one another, but it's strengthened by the presence of the preceding characteristic. If you have virtue and you're strong in that, guess what? It's going to strengthen your knowledge because you're going to know what to stay away from and what to pursue. The elements can also be strengthened and supported by parents in the home and other believers in the church. If faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, then it would follow that it can only be added to and strengthened by continuous contact with God's word. For what are and where else do we find the building blocks of faith? Deuteronomy 6 is calling back. Why? Because it's God's words, statutes, judgments, and commands. In Galatians, it says that's the schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. And then once we have Christ, what do we have? We have the living word in the flesh. And that's our examples. And he expresses all of these qualities to their fullest extent. So when we imitate him, we should see these. And they should be there. And they need to be strengthened in our homes and within the church. I think it, in thinking back on VBS this week, Brother Jacob, everybody's running around. They're doing their parts. They're doing their things. We're doing this. You got me, Matt, and Douglas running around like crazy people for darts. You got Jake making sure that we understand what range safety looks like. And there's people downstairs running around with crafts and games and all this stuff. And you know what? That's all a good support for what we were trying to do. But you know what? Pastor said everybody can come to VBS. Some came one night. Support needed to happen. You're like, I can't run around and do that like you. Okay, I understand. There's a prayer room right back here to the left, to my left. The whole time we were meeting with these children and Pastor and Joe and Jacob were delivering God's word, there could be people praying for the hearts of the young people. We could have got a list of names from the register workers and say, what are the names of the children that are coming? We could pray for them. Did we really want to add something? See what I'm saying? It's strengthened, and I'm just trying to challenge you. I can't do this, but what can you do to add? Everybody's important, and everybody can add to the faith. It's a structure that's successive and strengthening, and it's spiritual sensitive. Take note of how many elements in this passage are linked directly, closely with the fruit of the Spirit. Pastor has been preaching upon it. Faith, fruit of the Spirit, it's here. Add to it. Virtue, that can be coinciding with goodness. Oh, temperance, that's in both. Patience, it's like long-suffering. Brotherly kindness, that's like gentleness. Charity, that's the extreme example of love, self-sacrificial love. Love is in the fruit of the Spirit. Listen, our submission to the Spirit can greatly enhance our discipleship structure. And our grievance of it can really weaken it. Think about that. When we're adding to our faith, we want to add to our faith in with spiritual sensitivity. In a physical forge, you'll find elements available for use, all of which help form the structure of the substance. There's heat, oxygen, and tools that contribute to folding, hammering, bending, molding, and shaping the structure and the implement that is to be forged. Likewise, in the spiritual forge of discipleship, you'll find the substance of faith added to in such a way as to produce a structural faith that will endure. Ephesians 4:18-22 says this, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." That's everybody. That's Christ, the apostles, those who came after us, and those who are coming behind us. Everybody. We all need this. Are you practicing and promoting a successive, strengthening, and spirit-sensitive structure of discipleship? If not, what does the structure of your discipleship look like? Or do you even have one? We try in the Sunday school program to direct areas of that. We did the GLOW devotionals. I handed out the Teach Me the Faith books. And what we're trying to do is to encourage. Why? That Teach Me the Faith book has questions. They're questions that children answer. Why am I here? Who created me? What's my purpose? Is God real? All those things. Scripture gives the answer. We just don't say it enough. The world is very good at their repetition. It's all the time. It's TV. It's radio. It's the friends. It's the person who just spits out what they've heard without thinking about it. What happens with us? We just don't say it enough, or we don't put ourselves in the presence enough to hear it. It's on us. So the first component of discipleship in the forge of faith was the substance of discipleship. The second is the structure of discipleship. And the final component in the forge of faith is the stability of discipleship. We find this in verses 8 through 9. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. The stability of discipleship, we see the ratio of the stability. If these things be in you, but if he lacketh, there's a ratio. How much are we going to put in these? If these things be in you. If people are presenting and helping and giving and adding to, are they in you? Are you receiving them? Are we taking these in? And I think about it like this. Douglas should have to help me with this. It's much like a metallic alloy. The greater the presence of certain elements, the stronger it is, right? So if we go back, we had iron, and then they mixed iron with other things. So brass or bronze was copper and tin. It strengthened it. Steel is iron and carbon. So when we add these things, these alloys, and then we press them together and we put them in the forge and we mold those things together, then those little inconsistencies move about and they strengthen. And so when God puts us in the forge and he heats things up, and listen, it gets hot sometimes. Anybody else feel that? Listen, I'm not always on track, okay? Like, I can't even say names right today. But listen, God takes those little imperfections and he will mold and move and shape those things and move them in there into a way where just because we have that weakness doesn't mean we can't be strong. And you know how you get that strength? You get it through his word, you get it through discipleship, you get it in the church, you get it from your brethren encouraging one another with all these things. Listen, if you've been in the church for any amount of time, you should not be struggling with virtue anymore. Come on, we're past that. We need you to be here. Children need to see brotherly kindness and charity. But maybe too often we haven't added to those things. We haven't put those alloys of Scripture in there. Because when those things are in there, the greater stability that we have with the ratio of these things, the greater the effectiveness of our discipleship and the outworking of our faith. So you have the ratio of our stability. You also have the return. He said, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful. But if you're blind, you can't see afar off. Listen, it's not just the ratio, it's the return. They need to be in you, but then they need to abound. They have to be more. If I have virtue as a young person, I need to live more virtuous. How do I do that? Start with the Ten Commandments. Don't lie to your parents. Don't steal things from your friends. Don't steal things from your siblings. They're like, man, he got Legos. They're going to go home. I'm taking his Legos. Don't steal the chain from Josh. Earn the chain. Why? How do you do that? Add to your faith. What? Knowledge. Knowledge of the Scriptures. You see how this works? And then we just continue putting these things in there. And then we look at the retention of our stability. The knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We retain that, or we forget that we're purged from our old sins. What happens when you forget when you're purged from your old sins? You walk back into them and you pick up that yoke again and put it right back on you. Back to the carnalness. Back to those things that we said we walked away from because those weren't helpful to us. But then we put them back on. Why? Oh, that's familiar. I remember that. Yeah, but that's not what we need to put on. With the combination of different particles, along with the pressure and processes exerted upon a product that's underway, the more its uniform structure is rearranged and accommodated, higher thresholds of strength. Douglas, I go back to you. If I'm just the component of iron, I have one substance, and that could be very, very weak in just its uniform sense. Atoms and things at that level, particle level shift, and it's not as strong. When you add the alloys in, those other things, and shape and fold it, then some of those things, they dissipate or are consumed in there, and they add to that strength. Am I on track? All right, so either our discipleship will be stabilized by the adding of spiritual elements and retention of godly knowledge, or it will be brittle due to their absence. How does it become brittle? When I seek to stay uniform to myself. When I'm uniformly Mike Baldwin, that's no good. It just is not. You guys know me. When Mike Baldwin is acting just as Mike Baldwin, it is bad. But when Mike Baldwin acts in a way in imitation of Christ, because these things that are added are present, then it's way different. Because it's no longer me, but Christ in me. The hope of glory. That's what we want to see. That's what I want to express. I want to get rid of my uniformity. And guess what? What other kind of elements can go in? It's the elements of faith in these things and what I learned from the scripture. But guess what? I am also the product or the alloy of everybody here. You see, if you bring something and you add to my faith, you become the alloy of my faith, and you help strengthen me as God folds me, and that thing that maybe I lacked in that you helped me, I gain. But maybe too often, we can't see those things. It would seem that the stability of our discipleship is in contention, or is in correlation with the quantity. In Romans 12:3, the scripture says that we are given a portion of faith. It says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, that every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." The measure of faith. Among others, our passage offers a process to add to that measure. Here's how we can do that. Those with little or failing faith, like the father of the tormented child in Mark 9:21 through 27, guess what you can do? You can cry out to Jesus and say, "Help thou my unbelief." Okay, you have little faith, you have failing faith, help thou my unbelief. I mean, I believe once and I'm just not believing the way I used to. Lord, would you help me with that? Here's another one. Those struggling with the presence of egregious offenses and finding forgiveness for others, join with those closest to Jesus, the apostles, and say this in Luke 17:5, "Lord, increase our faith." Increase it. Maybe you've got strong faith. Maybe that's good. Increase it. And speaking back on the alloys, children, if you've grown up in a Christian home, your metal is stronger than those of us who have not. There is more there to be used. There's more there to be pressed. There's more strength there that can be gained. Guess what? Increase my faith. Take that faith, increase it, and do those good things that God wants you to do. And then practically, we can take some initiative and stabilize ourselves and others in discipleship by looking to Colossians 3, 9 through 10, which says this, "Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Perhaps there's those things that must be put off in our lives before we can add to our faith. You ever think about maybe that one thing that you hold on to that you won't put off from the old man to put on the new man prevents you from having virtue? Or the one, parents. Can I get an amen on temperance, self-control, right? Sometimes it's tough with those children and what's going on and the frustrations. But listen, maybe there's some things in our past and some things we just need to put off with the old man so that we can make room to put on some of these things and add these things. It's a struggle, and I'm in it with you. When it comes to the stability of discipleship, what is the ratio, return, and the retention in your life? How about those you disciple in your home or here in the church? Are they getting it? You heard the stats in the beginning. Be the good stat. Be the good indicator. And then just perhaps, I'm not saying, again, it's not destiny. I've got ones who haven't grabbed on, but I'm going to keep pursuing because I want my faith added to. I want to be forged in the discipleship of faith. And that happens here in church. And for parents, for our children, it happens at home. We all are a part of this. And we as the church, as Sunday school, as the other ministries and VBS and all these things that come together, they're there to support and add to your faith. How many of these? Where are we? If you would you stand with me? We'll pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness, Lord. I do ask, Lord, that In light of everything that we've seen today, in light of seeing these young people and being encouraged with their enthusiasm, with seeing them grow and move on, Lord, for those who have been here for many years, watching those from the smaller ages go into adult classes, what a blessing, Lord, what a blessing. And we pray, God, that we continue to be helpers and adding to their faith, whether from the smallest in the nursery until the adult classes, until we go home to be with the Lord. Lord, I pray, God, that you would add to our faith, Lord, that you would remove those things that get in the way, Lord, that you would help us to seek you and just allow you to form and to shape and to remove or bury those weaknesses, Lord, and the strength of the community of the church and the forge of discipleship. Lord, please help us this morning, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.